This episode of Finding Nemo Surfishing is being brought to you by Ninja Tackle. Head over to ninjatackleva.com and take a look at all the cool things that they've got going on. The Ninja Dagger Series. You guys know I love them. I absolutely love my daggers. He's got a 13. I haven't started throwing it yet. I am a little worried about a 13-footer because I don't know if I can handle it, but I know a lot of people that have it so far and absolutely love it. My 12-footers, I don't go anywhere fishing, surf fishing without them. My 7-footer, it's always in the car. I've always got the travel rod. Yeah, he's got that. All the rod series in between have been great, absolutely perfect. If you need reels, rigs, bait, any of the accessories, he's got it there. Over to ninjatackleva.com. Get your order in today. I guarantee, and I'm saying the G word, you're really going to like it. It's good stuff. Hello, 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 world. Hope you're doing well wherever you are. Things are going phenomenal. You've been out there getting after it. It's coming out of the winter. We're getting back into the spring. That means that the fishing is going to be awesome. I'm already super excited here in the Panhandle. I can't wait for some good runs, shall we say. I need me some new fishies. The freezer's getting empty, and that's a problem. This week, we're jumping on the old digital plane. We're heading north. We're going up to old South Carolina again. And for those of you have never looked into South Carolina, you're missing out. Food, seafood. Oh, yeah. Real good seafood. People, freaking phenomenal. Everyone I met when I was up in South Carolina has always been pleasant. Well, minus my drill instructors, but, you know, that's a different story for a different time. Great times, good ones there. We're going to be talking with Buck Bishop of the Salty Leprechaun. He's got a cool guide service out of their Hilton Head area. Lots of cool pieces there, and we're just going to get right into it. So without further ado, welcome to the show.
What's up, my guy? Good to be here, man.
Well, it's good to finally have you on. We've only been talking about this. So we had one planned. I think I had something pop up, and it got screwed, and then finally life lined up, and we finally get together here.
You know, phone tag's not just for telephones, man.
Yeah. Adulting's a trap, so any of you youngsters out there, don't do it. Just stay a kid.
Avoid it. It's a daily struggle, but you got to avoid it somehow.
Yes, it absolutely. So you're out of the Hilton Head, South Carolina area, and we've been chatting back and forth. We were chatting in the green room too, talking in the background about it's not a well known, and there's a lot of misinformation out there about fishing up in your area.
Yeah, there is a lot of misinformation. This is primarily a golf island, tennis, and of course, now pickleball. I don't know if for the older people that might be listening, they probably hip to that groove. But we've got an excellent fishery, man. Our ecosystem is just beautiful. There is a couple rules on our beach. No actively targeting sharks. But, you know, most of us surf fishermen know that it's bycatch. Yeah. So there are a couple loopholes. Now, we do have designated swimming areas, and that's where a lot of people get confused. Is there's certain sections of beach, and they're only about 100 yards wide, where there's not even allowed to throw a frisbee, much less surf, fly a kite, throw a ball, or fish. Other than that, as long as you've got a South Carolina license and you're not actively targeting sharks, you're good to go, man. Wet your lines. Don't let anybody other than DNR tell you to stop.
Very nice. You get a lot of good species up there too. It's not just a single, you know, one trick pony.
Yeah, man, and we'll probably get into this a little bit later, but I follow a lot of the Florida guys because I know that I'm probably give or take a month behind you guys. So when you guys start getting that pomp run, I know that it's time to start greasing up my lightweight stuff and getting ready for some slinging some stuff.
That's one thing I love about the East Coast, and we have it a little bit here. Well, no, we do have it here. If I see Panama City catching, I know, oh, okay, what time of season is, they're coming this way. You know, anytime Panama City Pier picks up, like, oh, hey, we got Spanish. Spanish are going to be here. Oh, yep. Hey, pomp run. All right, let's get that line ready. We're going to set rigs. And you guys, it's the same because they've gotten, you know, the whole Atlantic to run north-south. But as soon as you hear, like, all right, hey, just past Georgia. Okay, a couple of markers there. They're out of Jacksonville. They're coming north. Okay, or they're running, however it is. You know, all right, we're throwing.
Yep. And I mean, it even goes the other way too. Like, look at me. I get a little lazy sometimes. So I'll even watch north of me for the guys that are out there in the cold days hunting fish. Well, when I start seeing those surf reports from Myrtle Beach, I'm on the beach, because that means the fish are showing up north of me and I need to have my fat behind on the sand.
It's all about the planning here. And that's one great thing about social media is we can do that. So,
yeah.
All right, let's dial it in. Let's get into the starting here. So tell us your story and what got you into fishing.
What really got me into fishing, it's kind of been in my blood all my life. I remember one of my first memories of a vacation was my dad would take me, my younger brother, and my mom and my grandparents out to Hatteras, and he would go chase the striper. And, you know, now he's told me the stories that apparently he would wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, drive the blazer up and down the beach, spotting out for the schools, and then bolt back to the house. Dad, wake up, get your shit, let's go. And that, so it was that. And then I grew up in Charlotte, so I was pond hopping, you know, throwing rooster tails at bluegill and this, that, and a third. And then high school, I moved to Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, which is an excellent commercial fishery. I worked on the head boats. I worked on the commercial boats. I worked in the fish market. So it's kind of just been building and building and building. And then back in 2019, I had to have open heart surgery, and I really couldn't work, but you know, there's some little stuff I could do. So my wife was like, dude, you got to get out of the house, get out of the house, go to the beach. And I was like, well, I don't want to go to the beach and just do nothing. So I went and I got a, you know, $50, $60 surf pole from Walmart, spooled it up with, of course, mono, because I didn't know any better, and
right,
slinging it out there. And it was just, that was the only thing I had to do to maintain my sanity. And I just, I leaned in hard, man. I've learned just about every facet of everything I could do to be self-sufficient, from pouring leads, custom rods, reel repair, all of that stuff, just because I literally had nothing better to do with my life.
I mean, post-surgery, anyone that's had surgery knows, especially something major, it's like, I can't do anything.
Yeah, and it was really messing with my psyche. So that's why my wife was like, get out, go do something. You're mopey.
No, man, for better, for worse. My wife's the same way. So I can't go away. But go to the beach, please.
Yep.
Oh, baby. What's your favorite thing about fishing?
All of it. Yeah. You know, just, I've got a real big ADD and I've got like an engineer's brain. So I like to try to figure out how I can make my life easier and be able to adjust on the fly. So just that pursuit of knowledge is what really keeps me going. And then I love eating fish. And there's, like I said, I worked at the fish market, so there's nothing better than fresh fish. You won't find me getting fish sticks from Walmart. I'm not getting a fish fillet from McDonald's. I won't do it. But yeah, that's pretty much my favorite thing, is just all of it. You know, I love building the rods. I love tearing apart my stuff, so I know that Johnny at Dick's isn't messing my stuff up. And then, you know, especially tying knots and tying rigs. Not to down on anybody that sells rigs, because they make phenomenal rigs. I know Longest Cast sells some really good ones. Sinker Guy's got some good ones. But, you know, sometimes the day, the weather, the spot calls for a change. And if you don't know how to tie your knots, those, you know, what's the word? They're all uniform. These uniform rigs, you need to be able to adjust. And you can't do that if you don't know how to tie a rig.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely easier to go spend the $50 and be set for the season on rigs. But if you got to change it, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I get that. I absolutely get that. I'm backing up one second here. I should have did this when you said it, and I just stopped myself because my brain, you know, ADD. But dude, you've been in the fishing world for a long time. I mean, fish markets.
Most of my life. Yeah. And then I actually was I managed a fishing tackle shop here on the island for like a year and a half.
So you're fully immersed.
Man.
I dove in head first and I'm still swimming in it, man.
I love it. It's so good. So, so good. I had to bring that back up because I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. You meet a lot of characters in those joints, man.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
Oh, yeah. Especially being 17. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, you've definitely had the gambit from the angry old man that's seen mermaids and, you know, hell.
I got talked into eating a lot of questionable things.
Do some dumb stuff for a free t-shirt.
Or a six pack when you're 17. I mean.
Oh, no, not that. What is a bucket list fish for you to catch?
I'd really like to catch a great white. I think that that'd be pretty cool just because it's the apex predator. But, you know, from the beach, I'd really like to go to Cabo and catch a rooster fish, man.
Oh yeah.
That's got to be my tippy top.
Dude, when Wes talked about that on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, I was like, wait, you what? He's like, yeah, we catch him from the beach. I'm like, oh, shut your mouth.
Yeah, like I told you, I listen to the podcast often at work, and I'm a painter, so it's pretty mind-numbing activity.
Yeah,
I remember when that whole episode is like every 10 minutes, I'm just putting down my brush and staring at the wall so I can focus and listen. Like, okay, so this is what I should do whenever I go down there in hopefully 10 years.
Dude, and he's been posting a lot now. I follow everybody that I've ever put a podcast on. I always follow them and watch what they do. He has been killing it down. I mean, catching mahi, and not a little mahi.
Yeah.
Big ass mahi.
Studs.
It's like, dude, what the hell? He's like, and I just go back to the episode. He's like, it's a phenomenal fishery here. People just don't know about it. You don't see it often. It's like, all right, next time I'm down there, it's friggin' game on. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
I like we're going the idea for the rooster. All right. So here we go. We'll get the last one here and then we'll start getting into the knowledge piece. What can you share a memorable surf fishing story, including any unexpected catches or challenging situations that just turned into a win?
Yeah, I got two that come to mind off the top. One of my buddies who does kayak fishing here, he's since moved to Florida, called me and was like, hey, dude, do you have any trips tomorrow? I got this kid that we want to go fishing. And I think it's a make-a-wish type deal. And I was like, I mean, yeah, I'm open. Let's go throw some lines in the water. Wasn't really supposed to be a productive day, but I was like, yeah, dude, let's go do a beach takeover. How many rods you got? And we put out, and I brought all of my gear, my personal stuff, my guest stuff. And we had out probably about 15 rods rolling out to the beach. And I get there and it literally is a make-a-wish situation. And the way it started was this little kid comes up and asks my buddy, what are you fishing for? And and then he's, you know, the brother comes over and he's in a wheelchair and he's like, hey, do you care if my brother fishes? I was like, oh my God. Like it touched me that this guy, he's got so much stuff going on in the world, wanted to make sure that his able-bodied brother who's over there doing cartwheels could try to catch a fish. And that just warmed my heart. And I wanted to share that. But the craziest catch I've ever had was I was fishing here on the island and I was trying to get some redfish. And all of a sudden my rod dumped over like an angry Mack truck just picked up my hook. And it is screaming. But it's not screaming out like it normally would. It's tearing down the beach. And I'm fighting it. And it, you know, I've got it on a 13-foot custom rod with my 8,000 live liner. And it's just peel and drag. I'm torquing down. And I fought this thing for no lie, Brian, like 30 minutes. Back and forth, just running. And I couldn't get him to come to me. So finally, and it's Hilton Head. So I've got like 80 people behind me, all cameras out. And I finally get it to the beach and I realize it's a tiger shark. It's about a 6-foot tiger shark.
Oh, no.
But I peck hooked him. I foul hooked him in the peck.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that's a hell of a fight for that.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't lift. My arms were jello. But it was the most beautiful fish I have ever seen in my entire life. It looked like it was 10 feet deep in the water of Florida, sitting on the beach. Absolutely gorgeous. And the adrenaline didn't hurt either.
No, probably not even a little. So a hell of a catch. All right. Got the photos and good send off. No problems, huh?
Oh yeah. Healthy send off. I mean, I try not to overfight a shark, you know, right. If they need to run, I let them run. If I'm not getting them, then if they're angry enough, I'll cut it. But I try to get them in as quickly as possible and released as green as possible. Nice. Just cause I'm not trying to kill it unless I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
I'm not eating a tiger shark.
No, but hell of a memory. Great job getting them off, man. I mean, that's one of the ones I've learned now after doing this for this much time is you know who the real anglers and kind of the serious ones are when they're fighting a certain thing and they realize, all right, where are we at? What are we doing? And there's a lot kind of more like analyzing going on. But, yep. You know, when you get it in, it's like, oh, okay, we got to get this done. This has to happen now.
Yeah. And that's what I'll tell that to some of my guests. If they want to go fun fishing, as I have to call it, that when this happens and that fish hits the beach, I might come off a little rude, but this is very time sensitive. And my name is on the line if I do this wrong and somebody gets it on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you saw recently in our area, we had that great white.
I did see that.
And
I got a little teary eyed.
Oh man. It's like the community here. Most of the anglers were all, I'm sorry, what? It washed up. And then, you know, seeing a hook in its mouth and everybody's like, it was almost like the entire community was like, all right, whose head are we hunting?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to put you on a stick, dude.
Yeah. And you know, people were going after coastal worldwide. And it was a completely different shark. And Dylan and Blaine handled it like they always do, constant professionals. And they're like, it wasn't us, dude. We weren't there. But yeah, for people that do get your fish or shark that aren't knowing how to and all that, bad things happen. Oh, it really does. And it's like, all you had to do is listen in to YouTube or Facebook. Hell, the podcast. I'm here. We tell you, get it in, get the photo, get it the hell out, and make sure it swam off safely. You've got to get in the water with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like the classic thing you see on all the Facebook posts, and you know, some people word it a little too bluntly, but if you don't know what it is, leave it in the water.
Oh, yeah.
And that's simply because there are several species that cannot leave the wash. Yeah. And if DNR sees you do that, they're taking your truck.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's a big ding. So if you're not sure of the species, I can't stress this enough. If you're not 100% sure of the species, make sure it stays in the water when you unhook it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're making it rougher for all of us.
I shouldn't laugh at this, but I had to because I saw the post in my head. It's not talking sharks here. We're talking other fish. Like, hey, can you identify, you know, fish ID. What is this?
Oh, yeah. This is a blanket statement.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's in my cooler. Get it the hell out of your cooler. It's not in season. What are you doing?
Delete this post now.
Oh, man. And we see it so many times. And, you know, and look, I'd love to say, hey, no fault, no harm, no foul. But come on. If you're going to fish in a new area, you need to have, one, I'd say, and I'm not sponsored by them, but Fish Rules.
I took the word out of my mouth, man.
Yeah. That app, well, that locks into your GPS location. It'll tell you if, you know, what it is. You can scroll and be like, oh, okay, cool. Facebook's not going to be quick. And Google Lens. I've heard great things about Google Lens.
Yeah, that the AI photo stuff that they do. Yeah, the image search. That's a great tool.
So if you know what's possible in your area, if you're going to go somewhere new to fish, very important. But yeah, don't be putting stuff in your cooler if you're not sure.
Yeah. And if you've got the Google Lens plus the Fish Rules, I mean, and you're handy with a phone, it should really only take you less than 60 seconds to be able to discern whether you can keep that fish.
Mm-hmm. And if you're over 60, guess what? It's going back in the water and you'll go catch another one.
Exactly. <yeah.
laughs> You got the picture. Just call it good.
Put it back in the water and learn about it while it's swimming away.
Yeah. And so not on a hook.
The next one, it can go in the box.
Yeah. And yeah. Somebody made a good joke about that not too long ago. Like, oh, just put it on a hook and let it swim. It's like, no, it still is bad.
Now it's bait.
Oh, God. And for you guys, the East Coast is vicious when it comes to friggin' sharks are real. And, you know, hey, we play in their pond that's theirs. And they come up to shore to feed.
Yep.
Give a shark an opportunity of a distressed fish.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Here I come.
You can put a freshwater fish out there on a hook and it's going to get chomped up where I'm at, man. In a heartbeat. It's almost silly how easy it is to catch sharks here.
Yeah. Man, we're going to definitely move into that one. All right. It's been 20 minutes. Let's knock out a bait check because we're going to get into the fishing tips, tricks, and knowledge here. And it's just getting more and more fun as we go, man. I'm loving this. This bait check is being brought to you by DS Custom Tackle. DSCustomTackle.com is the website. Go on over there and take a look. As you can see, it is jam-packed full of gear. Yeah, if you need some stuff, yeah, I think you're covered here. If you need rigs, look at this. There are so many in the shop. You need to get your hands on anything from drums. Look at that. Kings, pomps down here. Perch, it's not just Florida. This has got you covered up and down the East Coast and the West Coast. It doesn't matter where it is. You're all set up there. And if you're a rig maker and you're looking to get your hands on beads, floats, things of that nature, hey, look at that. Tons of beads right here, and the floats is in another section. There is a bunch. The Scullies. Get the Scullies. Yeah. DSCustomTackle.com. Go take a look. Get your order in today. Great product, great people, and they're doing great things. So now that we're talking about into the area here, let's talk about your fishing time. So how do you plan your personal fishing trips?
Man, I've got a serious addiction. I got whenever I can, honestly. I've got a really great job, like 2 minutes from my house. And I work from like 5 or 6 till roughly 2. So I've got a lot of daylight left. So it's pretty much every day I'm on the beach. But it really boils down to doing your homework and doing recon. Because we've got a really shallow beach and a really big tide swing. So if you don't know where those cuts are, you're not going to really see them at high tide. Unless you've seen these waters for a long time. But you know, wind, weather, tide, moon, all that stuff plays a factor. But I use a couple different apps. My favorite is Windy.app is a really good one. And then, I couple that with AccuWeather. I check Salt Strong sometimes. It's just get out there when you can. Learn your area. That's pretty much what I do. I've got a couple of go-to spots that produce fairly well. But like so many people have said on here, man, you got to do your recon because the beach changes. Every time a weather pattern comes through, it's different. So I like to go walk the beach with my wife sometimes when it's a nice evening, low tide. And then I go stand in the tide pool and I start dropping Google pins. And people are like, what is this guy doing? I'm preparing. So you'll see me in 2 days.
Oh, gosh. I haven't said this name in a long time. Robert Fields. From Field Trips. I don't know if you've heard of him or followed him.
I have not.
He, big name, good guy. From everything I've heard from anyone I've spoke to that's ever had a happenstance with him, they've said nothing but great things about the guy. But I noticed in his videos, he was wearing a GPS tracker on his hat.
I want that. So exactly what you're talking about. Yep. I want that.
So I don't remember the company. I just remember him. But he made me think. I do.
It's Angler.
Oh, is it Angler?
Yep. It's okay. Angler, and they have a little, it's a pretty sweet app, actually. I just downloaded, that's so weird you say that. I just downloaded it and started using it last week.
That's not creepy.
No, it's Facebook is listening, I swear.
Yes.
But yeah, that thing is really cool. You just, as soon as you hook up, you boop, and it logs all of the information for the day and the location right to your phone. You don't even have to grab a pen.
I need to get with them. But you made me think of it when you were talking about, because that's what we do as husbands. We walk with our wives on the beach. We're being romantic.
Yeah.
Spot. That's a spot. Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
Oh, yes. Why are you touching your hat? Oh,
I got an itch.
Got an itch. It's so marking. But yeah, and you said that, and that was the first thing I thought. I was like, that would be a really useful thing. But yeah, anyway, sorry. Then now that I know what it is, it's Angler. I'm going to have to look it up when I get off this.
Don't be sorry, man. I'm on that same wavelength right now for about 4 days trying to find out where to get that clicker.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right. Moving on. Sorry. So we talked about the planning. Now let's talk about spots. So you did say you have a couple of spots. And I know you got to play the title game there. You got the two big swings every day, which is great on low for searching, and then high, you're going to play in the game.
Yeah.
How do you personally, how do you pick your spot when you're out there?
Just by, you know, like I say, it's real subtle beach. So I know what to look for based on having done my recon for years. If that makes sense. Right. So I've gone down the beach and I've found these big holes with a solid run out, and then I fish it at high tide. So I know at high tide what that type of hole is going to look like and roughly what that rip is going to look like for my beach. So I've got the eye to where now sometimes I don't even have to go do the recon. I could just go out and be like, I know this spot is produced several times consistently. Where's the hole? Because it doesn't move that much unless you've got a big storm. But as we all know, 30 yards can make or break your day.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty much how I look at my spots. And then, you know, the way our island sits, depending on the wind, I might be on the north end. I might be on the south end. Depending on the time of day with the tide, there's a really nice spot where a creek runs out. And if you can hit that just right, it's a pretty much guarantee. Pretty much. Hashtag asterisk. Don't quote me.
I mean, I said it may.
I didn't, I didn't mean to use the G word.
It's a hard thing in this world, you know, especially in fishing, to say that one. Oh, okay. So that's on that one. Now let's talk about then, if in that case you're there, you got the spot. The biggest one I find most people, and you've heard it on the show, and I'm sure you've run into it too when you're talking about, you know, talking to clients, is where do you cast?
Like I say, we've got a really, really shallow beach with subtle trough. So sometimes, I mean, like yesterday I was out and I knew where the trough was going to be. I know that I can catch fish within that first 50 feet, not even 50 yards, 50 feet off the beach. I could pull in a cooler full of whiting. And if we're having a big day or it's the fall, I do that for an hour and we're catching redfish tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And then at low tide, you just send it. You look for where the waves are trying to toss up that stuff, you know, and then put it there. Get one out farther. Get one in nice and close. Figure it out where it's at, because there's not much structure change once you get out past our first bar. It's pretty flat. You really got to like drop it with a drone or send the hell out of it. But at high tide, man, I find those guts. I put one past it, put one in the rip, and I put one in the gut. And then wherever that's working, I set three of them there and I still got one out there.
Yeah. See, that's the smart stuff. That's something too. The people, I think new people, I want to say new anglers, really. And you know, some of the seasoned ones too. That when Long Beach is like that, and that little itty bitty, I mean, we're talking 2 to 3 inches, just that little drop. That's a highway, man. They are just going to cruise that thing.
Yeah. I've had a couple of clients that wanted to come and they weren't so worried about catching fish as they were about learning the sport.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. That's really, I mean, it's still a long day, but it's a lot less pressure. And I'll take these guys at low tide and we'll go get down in the deep tide pool where the kids are playing and we'll get on our hands and knees and we'll look to the side. And I'll be like, now, what do you think is going to happen when there's 8 feet of water on top of this?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem that way when you're standing at 5 to 6 feet above the water. But when you're down there and you can see that there's a solid 2 foot difference between the bar and then where 3 foot sometimes to where the high water line is going to be, it's kind of a no brainer.
Yeah, it's easy pickings on that one. Well, we talked a little bit about it. You mentioned it too. Let's talk about tides and moon phases. How does that kind of affect your fishing out there? And what are some of the best times to fish based on those factors?
The tides, I mean, the best times I've found are, for me personally, I like to find a high tide in the morning, right about dawn. That's my golden hour is a high tide. Where I could get that, the end of that rise and then that fall right around dawn. I get out there safe light, fish for about an hour, hour and a half. It starts to fall and I'm catching the most movement both ways coming in and out of there. When the fish start chilling, I stop and I sip my coffee, and then I get back at it when they get back at it. But as far as tides here, they're an hour behind every day. So you really got to plan that. We have two. Like, you guys are so lucky.
We are spoiled.
We have two, and they can be anywhere from 5 feet to 8 feet. And on those 8 foot days, you got to be ready for it, because there's a lot of water. There's not much beach left. And then when it starts to fall out, that's a lot of water moving. So that's you got to switch your gear for those current levels.
Mm-hmm. Simple knowledge there, people. Simple tip. Just know. It's like, yeah, half the knowledge. Well, you started talking earlier. We talked about rigs, and you talked about being, available to adjust fire. Now, tell me about the rig setups you use, because I know you're not just out there double dropping. I know you're using others. What is your primary? What is your primary go to use?
My primary is going to be the high lows and the fish finders with Sputnik sinkers. Those are pretty much my go tos. If I'm lucky enough to have a beach that isn't crowded with a bunch of swimmers, then I'll probably throw on the egg sinker and do the classic Carolina rig setup just to cover some ground. That's pretty much it as far as my go-to stuff. I like throwing spoons and plugs, top waters and all that when I'm just, having a day off, no agenda, walking the beach. I'll walk a couple miles doing this all day.
That's fun stuff, man.
I'm blowing up and just pitch at it like a fiend. It doesn't pan out. I'd say the high low rigs are my primary go-to, and then the fish finder is for the bigger guys.
Okay. Yeah, fish finder does some good stuff. It really does. I think it's an underrated rig.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What are some effective bait and lure choices for surf fishing in that area, and how do different bait types attract different species for you?
Sand fleas has been the best for me. Sand fleas, fish bites, real sand fleas. They, even inshore, I don't know if anybody does a lot of inshore fishing that's listening. I've thrown some sand flea fish bites on some inshore and gotten torn up on some sheepies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They love it. And shrimp's just a go-to. Everything eats shrimp. I've caught mountain trout with shrimp.
Really?
Yeah, everything. It's surprising. Everything eats shrimp. That's another little gem. Get some salad shrimp from a Kroger and go fish up in the mountains. You'll catch.
You're welcome, Kroger. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some essential gear and tackle needs for a successful surf fishing trip, and how can anglers choose the right equipment for their needs?
You really got to know where you're fishing, man. And like here, when I was working at the tackle shop, everybody'd come in and they'd be like, well, what size weight do I need? And I'd be like, minimum 3 ounces. And they'd be like, whoa, 3 ounces. It's like, well, this ain't Indiana. Certainly not the Gulf. Like, you need this minimum on a beautiful day, picture perfect, perfect world. 3 ounces will hold you. And that's a pyramid. I typically don't throw anything less than a 4 ounce pyramid personally, because I like to have a nice bend in the rod. But Sputniks are the go-to. 4 ounce Sputnik is what I put on even my smallest rigs, just because the wind will be blowing this way, and you got the current going this way. It holds you. I mean, I've had Sputniks hold in 30-mile-an-hour winds where I didn't see another soul on the beach because it looked like the start of a hurricane. But I got my Sputnik out there and a nice bend in my rod. When you see how effective they can be, it's kind of hard to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we don't have the clearest water. So save yourself some money by mono. It's in our color water, it still disappears.
That's something I think there's only been a handful of people on the East Coast that have said this. And I love that you said that, because in reality, you don't have to get cute in dark water. No. You don't.
No, I don't care.
Sam won't see it.
I've caught so many pompano on like 30-pound mono rigs where that's probably not going to happen in the blue water where you guys are at because they're going to see it.
I'm not saying that I've thrown 30, so I've my rigs before and I was still successful. 30-pound mono I throw it out there right off the braid, drop her down, pompano would smash it.
Nice.
I don't know why, but I have that weird mentality, and I I'm no pro, I'm just Brian. Yeah, it's just me. But I've had for the longest time 30-pound mono and fluoro double drop rigs that I tied on my own with big old floats and a whole bunch of stuff on clear water days. And guess what? Still catching.
Yep.
So I don't know, man. I have a hard time buying into the game right now. I still have a hard time buying into the, they see the line, they're going to get it. It's like, it's a fish,
yeah,
dude. It's not a genius.
They're hungry. I've been around fishing enough that at the end of the day, if they want to eat, by God, they're going to eat.
Oh, absolutely.
That's it. I mean, we've all seen these videos of fish coming up and staring right at the bait, right at the float on a fluoro line. If they're not hungry, they're not going to eat it.
Yeah.
Pretty basic.
Yeah. That's, Justin and I actually from Justin Reed Fishing, we were actually just talking about that the other day was when they're like, they'll eat the float. Like, yeah. And the run. Yeah. The run. Why is everybody catching stuff on the run? Because they're hauling ass and they're only going to stop and feed as they go. I mean, they're burning energy. They're just a creature. They're going, if we're hungry, what are we going to do? We're going to stop at the drive through and get food. What do you think the fish are going to do? That looks edible. Ah, crap. You know, yeah. They get pulled in. It's like, it's just part of the game.
Yeah. It's, well, I mean, you throw a ball for even your dog, you throw a ball for your dog. You think he's going to stop slowly and then pick up the ball? No, he's going to, like every dog does. He's going to run and try to pick it up on the hop and probably tumble a little bit, but he's not stopping. There's a target. You got to attack, and the fish attacks.
The other side of that too, and you've seen this, and well, hell, we all have. When you have to get into the finer part of fishing, in the harder time of the seasons, the winter, the dead summer, you know, when it's too hot or too cold, and the fish are going to be in that situation. Yes, you do have to get creative, and you probably need to downsize.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, regular mid-season game, go out there and throw.
Yeah.
Don't throw the crap.
And get it wet.
Yeah. Don't throw the metal rigs that you get at Walmart. Don't get me wrong. Throw that crap. That reflection's not going to help you.
I hate those so bad, man. If I had a nickel for every time I saw somebody come up and ask me, hey, man, how are you catching so much fish? This is what I'm using. I'd reach in my bag, grab one of my rigs, and be like, throw that thing away. Here.
Yes.
Throw it away. Oh, man, what do I owe you? Nothing. Just catch a fish, dude.
So many of us are like that. It's like, here, just take this. It will make a difference. Because you'd think after all, I mean, I have smashed Walmart so many times on this podcast for that, and numerous the guests have as well. You would think one of them would realize, hey, yeah, I mean, I know we're making money on this, but this stuff sucks. Yeah, why don't we move to something different?
Well, I actually not, and I'm not going to name them because I don't want to slam them, but I started making my rigs and I took them to a specific tackle shop that you can tell when the employees don't fish, mm-hmm. that kind of place. And I brought them in there and I was like, these are, you know, 30-pound mono, 2-aught circle hooks. They're beautiful, tried and true. I've used them myself. You guys should sell these. I'll even give you a great discount because I just want to get my name out there for it. I'll give you 15 of them for free. Call me when they sell. He's like, oh no, we just give them these metal ones. Everybody gets bit off. I was like, well, it's because you're telling them to put chunks of mullet on a double drop rig. Do you fish? Like, okay, I don't know if I want my rigs in this shop anymore. And I was just like, I'll be back when I need some frozen mullet. Okay.
If you're throwing out chunky baits, you're going to get toothy critters.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, whoa, there's too many sharks. You don't catch anything but sharks and stingrays. I'm like, well, that's because you're telling them to use squid.
Oh, squid love those damn things, man.
Yeah. I was like, well, maybe you tell them to use some shrimp or some sand fleas and hide the metal. They might be a little more successful.
Yeah. I use anything squid related at the beach, I'm almost guaranteeing I'm hooking a ray. Almost guaranteeing it's going to happen.
Yeah.
damn things. I love a Flappy Flappies, but I don't like unhooking Flappy Flappies with the sharp Barbie barb.
Yeah, right.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We got a little off topic there. As usual, I squirreled.
ADD.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. That's the story of my life. Okay. Let's nail a couple of last ones here, and we'll get you into the guide business. What do you do when you go fishing in a brand new place you've never been before?
As much homework as I can. I like to go to the tackle shop. Before I go there, I'm on the forums, I'm on the Facebook groups, and I'm not mining information. I'm trying to sponge up information. So I'm not going to be that guy that everybody hates. It's like, hey, I'm coming in town. How do I catch fish while I'm here? It's like, no, dude, scroll down. So that's what I do is I'll scroll down. I'll read the fishing reports and then I'll read the comments because a lot of guys won't put all the information in the post until somebody asks the right question, 50 comments down, or it's their buddy and they drop there's the gem right there. Yes. Now I'm in. And then tackle shops, man, go to the tackle shop. Ask the right questions. Don't go there and get a $4 tub of bait and expect them to put you on fish.
Oh yeah.
You know, as a former tackle shop manager, I can tell you that's a good way to get bad information.
That's actually pretty funny. Okay, keep moving. How do you adjust for your tactics when the bite isn't on fire?
I throw everything but the kitchen sink, man. I start rummaging through that file cabinet in my head. Why isn't this working? Okay, if this tactic isn't working, what have I done in the past to pivot? And then I do that. You know, like I say, fish are fish, man. They want structure, they want food, and they don't want to get eaten.
Yes. True. I just can't. That's getting a marker. That's going on the reel. How do anglers or how can anglers target specific fish species in the surf? And what are some tactics for catching popular fish?
Well, you know, if you want to catch those first trough fish, those table fare fish, the whiting, the pompano, don't be throwing 4-0 hooks. Yeah. I mean, you have to know your species. You know, deep in the season, you can catch a redfish on top water. If you're trying hard, you can catch them in the middle of the water column. But what you need to understand is that's fish generally as a species is rooting around in the bottom like a hog. And that's where their mouth is. It's on the bottom so that they can root around. And the same with whiting. They're typically swimming in the water column like this because of where their mouth is. And they've got a really tiny mouth. Same with pompano's got a really tiny mouth. So unless you're going after the big, big ones, just know your species. You gotta know what you're going for. And if you're putting big, you know, half a stingray out there hoping to catch a redfish, get ready for a shark.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you know, I tell people all the time they come down, they want to get those, you know, the 7-foot pole and throw squid and mullet on there. It's like, dude, you're going to break your bass pole, man. I'm just telling you, if you do this consistently, you're going to break your equipment and it's going to suck. Like, well, how do you know? I'm like, well, do you think that thing might be great for a 7-pound bass fight of your life? But what happens when a pissed off 30-pound stingray wants that little piece of shrimp? And they do.
Oh, they do.
Often. Now, you got a broken rod and no line and you're crying.
Oh, yes, you are.
Okay. I've seen it happen many times where it's like, dude, that gear's not strong enough. I'm not trying to sell you stuff, but don't take that to the beach, man. Because you either break it throwing the amount of weight you need to hold your bait where it is, or something angry is going to break it.
Yeah.
It's not going to work long.
You gotta know what you get. I subscribe to that mentality. Be overkill on what you may need because you never know what you're gonna hit at the water. I mean, the ocean is a monster, and yep, there are monsters in it.
Me and my buddies call it Forrest Gump fishing because you never know what you're gonna get.
Well, it's been 44. Let's knock out a bait check, and then we'll continue on here because this is I'm having a ton of fun. I truly am, man. Yeah. This paycheck is being brought to you by Kids Can Fish. Head on over to the website, kidscanfish.net, and take a look at all the great things that they're doing. Here you can see through the website, they've got all the information right here. They are a state and federally recognized 501c3 charitable foundation. All the camps and clinics all get funded back in to the organization to help these kids go out and go fish. If you also want information on the Running of the Bulls tournament, it'll be updated right here up on top. And if you want to learn more about the entire team, you can take a look at the pro staff links. You learn all about Caroline, their partners, how to get in touch with them, and the photo gallery is always great. If you'd like to help them further, you can do one more. You can go over to Promar Ahi and take a look at that website, and you can buy into the CastNet. This is the specialized one. This is the one that you hear a lot about. Caroline has talked a lot about it, and a portion of the proceeds go back into Kids Can Fish. They have the 3-foot, the 4-foot, and the 5-foot. All these things are great, and it all goes back into the Kids Can Fish Foundation to help these kids continue to do great things with these camps. Keep your ears open, because there's going to be a lot more things coming from them. It's always great, and always great to be a part of it. Well, you have the seasons. We talked a little bit about that starting into it here, so let's talk about that. Are there any unique challenges or tips for surf fishing during the different seasons, such as winter fishing or summer?
Yes, summer fishing, it can be tough. It can be really tough here. And it's not so, it's about equally the people and the weather. You know, our waters get real hot, and a lot of those higher temperature fish don't tend to come up this high. So you really got to want to get after it. And then once the water does get that warm, you got to try to gear away from sharks, because even though it's bycatch, it's a tough battle to try to say you weren't targeting it when there's 80 cameras behind you and everybody's got an opinion on the other side of that camera. But then, you know, once it starts to get cold here, it gets cold quick. So winter's pretty much dead. You know, all us surf guys, we tend to go inshore for that. And then, you know, March is my favorite month. I got St. Patrick's Day, my birthday, and the fishing opens up. So yeah, I'd say middle of December. Usually Thanksgiving is when I start to hang it up and don't really run any more trips, because it's just a lot of work. I'll still go fish myself, but to consistently be productive, I'd feel guilty trying to take somebody's money that time of year. And I don't even go out January, February. That's being a glutton for punishment at that point.
You still get real winter there. I remember. It still gets cold.
It snowed a couple years ago.
People don't think, they're like, there's no way it's gonna snow like that in South Carolina. It does, even by the coast.
And the crazy thing is, it was like an inch that stuck, but there's no infrastructure for that, so everything shut down. It was a ghost town, man. No milk, no eggs, none of that.
It's so bad.
I think it was on the ground for maybe 8 hours. Oh, if that.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, it was a laugh, man.
Oh, all right, let's move into your business. Let's move into the guiding. What got you into guiding?
Like I say, man, I've always been into fishing. I like to try to outsmart Mother Nature, and I figured out I was pretty good at surf fishing, and I just, you know, run out of people to fish with. Don't want to fish with nobody, strangers. So, hey, man, you want to go fishing? Let's go fishing. And I'd take a buddy fishing, and we would catch and have a great day. And then he'd be like, "Yo, dude, you need to come fishing with us," and we'd bring another buddy. Before I knew it, it was four buddies out there fishing, listening to what I say. I'm a knucklehead, but they were listening and it was working. And then my one buddy was like, "Hey, my dad's coming in town for my brother's wedding and everybody wants to go fishing." So I was like, "Yeah, come on, man, we'll go." And at the end of the day, his dad's like, "What do I owe you, dude?" I was like, never even dawned on me that I could make money doing this. I was like, I don't know, man, but whatever you think's fair. And he slid me $200. He's like, "Thanks, dude. Can I see you next year?" I was like, "Sure can.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes, you can." And then somebody came into the tackle shop while I was working there and was like, "Hey, you know, I got my kid here. Can we go fishing?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. Why not?" Same thing happened. I was like, "I'll teach your kid how to surf fish." At the end of the day, he's trying to slide me a couple $100. And I was like, "Okay, might be something onto this." And it's just, you know, it was one of those, you got to jump into the deep end if you're really going to learn how to swim. And I was just like, this is something I want to try to do. You know, I feel like I could do it. I've got proof of concept, apparently. So I just went about doing it the right way. I got my town license. I got my all my business licensing done, insurance, all the wazoo, the website. And just taking people fishing, man, enjoying spreading the love of the sport.
Good deal. Love it. Love it. What sets surf fishing charters apart from other types of fishing charters, and what kind of fishing experience do you aim to provide for the clients?
Like I mentioned earlier, I can run a range of different trips, man. I run a day trip, which is, you know, basically more geared toward the younger kids, the less experienced fishermen that wouldn't handle, hey man, don't touch that, or get your hands off that, or let me do it. It's more of like a learning, like a day at the beach where we're going to catch fish, might throw the cast net, you know, do a lot of teaching, explaining things. And then, you know, I run my fun fish trips where it's like, all right, boys, game time. We're going to drop the hammer on some big fish. And we're out there, and I'll spend, you know, 30, 45 minutes teaching guys how to cast if that's what they want. But we're putting lines out. If you want me to risk my equipment, I'll bring the drone. I think the coffee's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the question?
Yeah. You're right on point. You're good.
All right. Yeah. And then I run other trips where, you know, some guys are like, I'm not worried about catching fish. I want to learn how to catch fish, which is, as we all know, is a completely different day at the beach. Sometimes we might not even get the line wet if we go at low tide and I'm teaching them how to spot the beach. I'll spend the 45 minutes. We'll go to the high water line and we'll practice tossing into a puddle with no hooks on it just to explain that this is how I do it. So I hope to see you again, but if I don't, it means I did a good job today.
Yeah.
And now you're out there fishing on your own.
So what are some of the primary fish species that do you guys target on your charters?
It's going to be the whiting, the pompano, the redfish. You know, just the primary stuff that we've got available. You know, if we're having a really slow day, I'll throw some squid out there. You know. Yeah, get that tug of the drug, man. I mean, it might not be a keeper fish, but, you know, we forget that sometimes we get so numb to the stingrays and the catfish that a lot of these people from like Idaho have never even seen a stingray, much less caught one. And then that's another learning experience of, hey, you know, Steve Irwin died by this. Oh, don't touch it. Don't get near it. It's like, no, the only dangerous part is about this big.
Yep.
And it's right there. Grab its tail, flip them over, and you could reach in his mouth. They don't have teeth. And you would be surprised how many people are just dumbfounded because they thought it was such a dangerous thing. It can be if you do it wrong.
Yeah.
But now, next time you and your kid go fishing and you catch a stingray, you're not yelling down the beach for somebody to come help you. You're flipping it over and you're getting it back in the water like it should be.
We as anglers on the coasts, I think we're spoiled because, you know, we catch a catfish and we're like,
right?
That guy from Missouri that came down to fish with you, he's like, dude, catfish. You know, they love catfish.
Dude, there's catfish out here. If I had a nickel for every time that I had to put on a smile about a catfish, man, like, oh, wow, great catch.
Yeah.
And then I set my watch because 10 minutes from there, I'm going to fake like we need to move.
Yeah.
I don't want to catch catfish all day.
No, but and there are, you know, people that come down to fish, they're catching fish, they're happy. But we are so mentally checked out of that of like, oh, great, it's a trash fish. You know, all these ones. You nailed it. The stingray. Somebody's never seen one. That's a huge win. That's a core memory for them. And it's going to be with them.
Fight well. It's a good fight.
Yeah. And some of them, I mean, I've had freshwater or I've had saltwater catfish. And if I had to choose between a saltwater cat and a freshwater cat, I will eat a saltwater cat three times over.
Oh, really?
Oh, so yeah. It was the week. So I did this on purpose.
I might have to go to a different state and try that because we can't do that here.
It was weird. So I got called out by a guy that, you know, Jacob, who was on the show. He was like, oh, if you next catchfish, you know, catfish, you catch, you got to eat it. I'm like, fine. I catch one over 12. I'll eat it. And sure enough, yeah, damn it. Caught a 15. Nice. I was like, all right, I said, I'm going to do it. Dude, I threw that thing down on the friggin' on the flat top, no seasoning, just straight cooked it. And I was like, all right, let's see what happens. Didn't taste bad. Barely even had a fishy flavor. The only thing I was mad about was the fact that the fillet, well, one, cleaning it, because you don't get a ton of meat for that work, which I'm pretty pissed off about. But the thing was about, but that's probably, do real math, not guy math. That's probably like, you know, 9 inches of cat. And the damn thing shriveled down. I was like, oh, what the hell? Like, it just completely shrunk. I'm like, oh, this sucks. But it tasted fine. And I seasoned up another one, tasted just fine. Would I eat it? Yeah, I'd eat it all day. I wouldn't even be upset about it. Now, freshwater cat? No. Tastes grubby to me. I'm sorry for those of you that love it. That's just not, maybe I've had it bad, I'm sure. But I just,
yeah, if I'm going to eat like a freshwater catfish, you really got to fry the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a zombie apocalypse fish for me. Then, yeah. But in the surf, I'd eat that.
Out of necessity.
Yes. I'd eat it on Monday. I don't care. What is your favorite thing about running a charter?
Just the faces, the smiles, the wows. You know, just seeing the light turn on in people's head when you explain something that to us is like common knowledge, or when you're explaining wave dynamics and how to read the beach when the water's up. You know, to somebody who's a physicist or understands wave dynamics, it's pretty basic. But to somebody, like we were saying, Missouri, Indiana, somebody who's never been to the ocean, they don't understand that, much less sometimes even tides. They don't get it. And just to see people start to put things together and connect the dots, fellow fishermen, I'm like, oh. Because sometimes when I explain doing recon, for instance, I'll tell bass fishermen, like, man, you know your favorite bass pond? Or every time you go to a new bass pond, don't you wish that you could just drain that thing like 10 feet and see where all the good stuff is, man? And they're like, oh my God, that'd be perfect. I'm like, yeah, I bet you spend $1,000 on a live scope and a side view, don't you? Like, yeah, man, it's great. I'm like, well, the Mother Nature does that for me twice a day. Yep. And that's usually when the light goes on and they're like, oh, I get it. That's, I was like, we don't have stumps, we don't have logs, we don't have laydowns, we have these tide pools. So go out here in the morning, bring your kids, and wherever they're playing in the tide pool, don't let them be at high tide, because that's where your bait's going to be.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. I like the analogy. It's a good piece. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's mentally noted. Can you share some memorable success stories from clients who have had remarkable experiences and catches during your charter?
Yeah, one of my favorites actually is a friend of mine had hit me up saying that her brother and dad were going to be in town, and that her brother's really shy. He's an athlete and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, cool. I'll take him out. They book the trip. We go out there. Come to find out he is, and I don't want to name drop him, but he's on the U.S. freestyle big hill ski jump thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of a big name and doing crazy stuff. And this kid was like, it was early. He didn't want to talk. He was being real sheepish, had the headphones on. And, you know, I'm like, all right, I get it. You're too cool for school. You're catching the first fish. We throw it out there right off the rip at the creek spot I was telling you about. Right off the rip. Nice stud speckled trout. This kid started talking. He started being all over the place. Hey, can I help? Let's get a line back out there. Do you want me to throw this out there? Because, you know, I see you're rebaiting, but I think I could do this. And it was a complete change. That's my favorite, is when that happens, because it's like this kid really didn't want to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, but by 8:30 he was like, yeah, go sit down, Dad. I got this. Like, thanks, Dad. But we don't need you anymore. And you know, he ended up catching a 5-foot shark that day and taking it. That was one of my favorites, because I worked hard to turn that attitude around, and it definitely paid off.
Sounds like it. Yeah, that was fun. When it comes to this, actually that ties in nicely to this. What advice would you give to individuals considering a surf fishing charter for the very first time to make the most of the experience, and recommendations that you say, hey, don't forget to bring this stuff, but I've got you covered with all this.
In general or with me personally?
I guess you could go general. I mean, basically, from your side of the charter, one, yeah, basically talk about how you're getting with the client setup.
All gear, bait, and tackle is provided by me. I bring a couple of backup waters, but I usually tell people if you're going to want a chair, bring a chair. You can get one for $20 at Walmart. Obviously, you need a saltwater fishing license. That's a must per my town agreement, which I, side note, I am the only town sanctioned surf fishing guide here. I'm the only one legally allowed to do this for money. But I, you know, you got to have that, the license. If you want to sit down, you got to bring a chair because I can't, 500 pounds of shit is not happening. But I'll bring everything else. If you want snacks, you got to bring your snacks. I recommend bringing some water because it can get hot depending on the time of year. I always do have some backup waters, some, you know, electrolytes just in case somebody needs it. CPR certified, so you don't have to worry about that. I got you. And then, you know, just a winning attitude and the understanding that they call it fishing and not catching for a reason. I'm going to do everything in my power to make it fit, to make it catching. But if it's not, I'm also going to do spend the entire day giving you every piece of information that I've got to make it so that the next time you go or next time we go, you'll have an understanding. It'll be smoother. And if you go by yourself, then you've got all of my knowledge that I could give you in this 4 hours to be productive.
Nice. I like that. So you're rocking the education piece along with the charter as well. You're not just, it's not just, hey, I'm going to do all this. You're helping them learn for future.
Oh yeah. I mean, like I say, I've got ADD really bad and I can't listen to somebody tell me to do something. I have to hear it and watch it. So as I'm baiting my hooks, as I'm tying my knots, I'm not going to tell you all day how I'm tying my knot. But it's going to be, hey, Brian, come over here. I want to show you this. And then I'm going to go through here. And then I'm going to go back through here again so that it double knots. I tie my knot. I sling my rig. Smart. And then, you know, and it's piece by piece. So that way there's not really a dull moment. I'll even go as far as to explain why I'm hooking the mullet, where I'm hooking the mullet.
That's good.
Some people don't understand that you need to hook it a certain way because it needs to look a certain way when the current's blowing.
You dude, know, I still it, screw that up. You were going to say something. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's just, you know, people don't know what they don't know. So I try to give them everything I know. And if I start running out of stuff, I'm like, do you got any questions? Try to stump me, please.
We've been going for an hour now. Let's get the last paycheck knocked out because we got a few more questions and we'll get you out of here for the day.
Cool this has deal. Been good. I'll be hitting the beach right after this.
Lucky. God, you're lucky. All right, here we go. This paycheck is being brought to you by The Sinker Guy. Y'all know I love it. Go over to thesinkerguy.com and take a look at everything that Chip's got going on in the Sinker Guy garage. Lots of fun stuff in this website, y'all. I mean, you can get lost in it, really. If you go take a look, you just get right to the homepage here. It's got a little couple of things to talk about. But we go into the good stuff, get into the garage, into the shop. Need sinkers? It's in his name. It's got you covered there. The Bruno rig, the Uno rig, and the Fishing Mortician rig. We all love those. But if you need other supporting gear, he's got you covered with that. Bait, floats, fishing line. So many different things, any kind of other supporting gear. There's a lot on the website. So again, go over to thesinkerguy.com, take a look, get your order in today. Extremely fast shipping, superb customer service, and Chip's going to make sure you're taken care of every time. That's just how he does it. Sinkerguy.com, get your order in today. I guess this is the better question. What is your service area?
Hilton Head, go up to Hunting Island. I'd like to be able to expand more, but with the amount of people that we have come here, there's just the pool of clients is there's just so many people that come here that I really don't have time to branch out super far. Now, some people, you know, want me to meet them right outside of their condo, right on the beach. They don't really care. They don't want to move. They just want to walk outside and go fishing. I can make that happen. If it means I got to walk a mile, I'll be there. I'll be right there. And then I've got other people that are like, hey man, I really want to catch fish. Where should we go? I'll meet you. And then I've got other people that's like, dude, I don't want to be around anybody. I want to go fishing and I'll put them in the truck and we'll go up to Hunting Island and I'll pay to get in the park and we'll make a whole day of it. But you know, as far as like a service area, I'm not branching out too far just yet. Cause like I say, there's so many people coming here that, and I'm the only one doing it on the island, that I'm pretty locked in with where I'm at. I don't need to have much of a service area, and I'm thankful for that.
Okay. Good. Good. All right. I like that. How can, actually, let's do this. What have been some very valuable lessons learned after running and starting this, or starting and running this charter business?
Well, the big one when I first started was, if I'm not fishing, I'm not catching. If I'm not catching, I'm not being a good guide. You know, it's a constant level of advertisement. You know, if I'm not catching fish and talking about the fish I caught, whether or not it's a surf report with no photos or a full edited video, then it's all just lip service. And that was one of the things that I had to really dial in on when I started this, was, do I still want to be trying to do this in my spare time while I'm spending 8 hours in this cabin trying to sell rigs? No, I want to be on the beach at every waking moment. And when I actually started, I was running Uber. I would wake up, I'd go fishing for 4 hours, I'd Uber for lunch, I'd go right back to the beach, and then I'd Uber for dinner. And if I made enough money before the sun went down, I'd go back to the beach again. Just to you know, keep it out there, because nobody wants to see you posting pictures and videos of the fish you caught 2 years ago and try to say, hey, I'm still doing this. I know I don't. I want to go with the guy that caught something last week or yesterday.
Mm-hmm. No one would ever repost a 2-year-old photo. No,
right?
I mean, ever do that. At least switch
it up a little bit, you know?
How can listeners find out more information about your surf fishing charters and to get in touch with you to book an experience?
You can find me on Facebook, Salty Leprechaun Surf Fishing. You can go to saltyleprechaun.com is my website. I've also got, speaking of the YouTubes, I'm going to be picking that up again here shortly. I got a couple good videos on YouTube at Salty Leprechaun Surf Fishing. I'm trying to figure out Instagram. I'm starting to feel like a little bit of an old guy because I don't really get it. But I'm working into that. I will be trying to be a little more active doing the TikTok. I'm actually going to try to dive into that this week. So I'll be out there. I got a pretty unique name. Should be able to Google it up.
And everything will be linked back on the Finding Nemo Surf Fishing page. You'll be able to find that. It'll be hyperlinked back on the Transistor and also on findingnemosurffishing.com. So you guys can all go click on that. It'll take you right to his page. Everything will get linked in there. All right. So we opened with something here before we move into the closing sections. We opened with a discussion that we said, all right, we're going to get to that one. Hilton Head is it's a nice place, but there's just a lot of misinformation about fishing there.
Incredibly a lot amount of coffee again. There's a ton of misinformation and bad knowledge about the fishing here. Ton of it.
Okay. Clear it up for us, man. Bring it home.
All right. So there's misinformation that you're not allowed to surf fish on our beaches between April and October. That is not true. That does apply, however, for designated swimming areas, which there's about 5 of them. It is Alder Lane, Caligny Beach, Folly Field, Dreesen, and Islanders Beach Park. Now, in those areas, you're not able to throw a frisbee, much less a football or even fish or surf, and because they are designated for people that want to come to the beach and swim and sunbathe. That being said, everywhere else is free game. As long as you're you have a South Carolina license, fish away, buddy. Do it to it, because none of it's private land. And another thing that people don't understand is that below the high water line is state waters. If you're below high tide, you're technically in the Atlantic Ocean, which the town does not have jurisdiction over. But that's when you get into starting splitting hairs. Now, as far as shark fishing, you're not allowed to actively target sharks within 400 yards of any piece of land. And there's common misconception, and it puts so deeply ingrained here that even the beach patrol in their training is told that if an angler catches a shark, they are by de facto shark fishing. And that's gone all the way up through the town manager. And it actually took me a solid 4 months of going back and forth and playing phone tag to try to get this guy on the phone so I could get my business license. Cause I met a brick wall every time. Finally get him on the phone. I say, "Hey man, you know, it's me. I know I've come across your desk. Glad I finally got you on the phone, but I need to ask you a couple questions about why I'm getting stonewalled." He's like, "Oh yeah, sure. You know, if you catch a shark, you know, you're shark fishing." I was like, "Okay." So using that argument, if I am bass fishing and I catch a bluegill, am I now bluegill fishing? Did my whole day change because I caught a bluegill? He's like, "Oh no, you're still bass fishing." I was like, "So if I am carp fishing and I catch another species, am I no longer carp fishing?" He's like, no, you're still." I was like, "So if I'm trying to catch redfish and I catch a shark, does that mean I'm no longer targeting redfish?" And it was silent on the other line. And that's another one of those light bulb moments. I was like, "See, I don't want sharks. Why? I like the fight. It's fun. Everybody likes it. But they tear up gear. They mess up my hooks. You know, I had to sell it a certain way of, I don't want to catch the sharks. I'm not targeting them, but they're going to happen, sir. It's just a fact of the matter." And I release them. I don't spend a lot of time taking photos. I tell my guests, "You got 30 seconds. Once that fish hits the beach, have your phone out. I'll tell you, but you got 30 seconds before I'm putting it in the water. I don't care." So I was finally able to get them on board with that and get town approval. But yeah, there's a lot of people around that think that it's a no-go here, and they couldn't be further from the truth. I've had to call DNR for harassment of a fisherman because people were trying to tug on my lines and fight me because I was fishing. And I'd been there since daybreak. And because it's 10:30 and now they want to use the beach, they're going to call the cops. Well, the cops have come, and "Sorry, sir, but you don't have the jurisdiction to check me for my license because I'm below the high water line. We could call DNR and they could do it, and I'll be more than happy to play by the rules, but you're misinformed, sir. So is everybody out here. You're misinformed." DNR comes and shut everybody down. It was beautiful. I wish I had my GoPro going.
Those are the good days, though.
It's like, I have a great relationship with DNR and the actual beach, not the beach patrol, but the code enforcement, who supersedes beach patrol, now will roll up to me in my gear and be like, "Hey, man, how's it going?" Like, "What's up, dog?" I've had 4 trucks of beach patrol after I caught that tiger shark we were talking about. I had 3 red pickup trucks surrounding me. Like, "You're not going anywhere." And here comes the white code enforcement town truck. Pulls up, he's like, "Buck, what are you doing, man?" I was like, bycatch, dude. I don't want this shark." And within 5 minutes, everybody left with a bad attitude. And now me and this guy are smoking a cigarette, leaning on his truck, like, "Damn, a little overzealous here, aren't they?"
Oh, people just want to see people burn.
It's crazy, man. It really is. And you know, a lot of people don't know that how many sharks are in these waters.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
I've had Coast Guard buddies send me videos as they're flying over the beach, and there's monsters. I mean, Salty Savage is catching monsters in Beaufort. You think that they're not down here too? That's, I could throw a rock and hit Beaufort, man. It's like 30 minutes as the bird flies.
Well, I know this episode hasn't aired by the time, as we're talking, it airs tomorrow. But I mean, Chip.
Yeah, Chip. Let's go. Let's talk about that, I mean, dude. He changed the whole game, proven that, dude, he's caught, not just seen pings, but caught within 3 miles of our beach.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, yeah.
So he says, I can tell you about it because, yeah, we got time. It'll be air by then. But he's even said, you know, he gets in the boat, goes off. And the beach is within visible, like you can see people very comfortably. And his clients are like, this close. And he's like,
yeah, it's like that.
It's and he's like pulling up here. A big ass great white. And they're like, "What?" I'm like, "They are here. This is how it is." And I'm dreading, but I'm also excited for people are going to go nuts because they're going to be like, what the hell? He's catching great whites. Yes, he is allowed to. That is
probably the most ethical fisherman I have ever heard of.
Yes. And that's the thing. And people are, and it's, again, it goes back to the misinformation and the instantaneous disdain. I mean, I even wrote it up for that. Like, a lot of you are going to be pissed. And in reality, he's doing it right.
Yeah. He was on Shark Week.
Yeah. And that was one of my favorite things we were talking was a lot about. It wasn't about the catch. Now, the catch is cool. Don't get me wrong. And getting a class, that's cool. I mean, he's one of the few people that can legally do this. But on that same one, all the other science pieces, he's tagging them with the friggin' with the radio ones. He's tagging them with GPS. The new one that's coming out, the new camera tracker. Oh dude, yeah. I am stupid excited to watch that.
Just in the past 3 years, even 5 years, we'll call it, the amount of information that he's added to the study of that species is just astronomical. And it's one dude on a boat.
Yep. And the newest one, it's actually been popping up a lot more. His first catch? No, I don't think Lee Beth was his first. No, or his first tagged one. Lee Beth was one of his well-known tagged ones that he did. There's somebody that's been tracking it. And Lee Beth is right off of Texas right now, down in, what is that, Corpus, I think.
Yep. I saw that post on Facebook.
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of cool. But all these pieces together with what his knowledge of that, what he did, that shark's been out in the water swimming for a long time. They have the whole migration. They have the depths. They have the habits, all that. That can't happen unless you have people like that that are doing this for the science, because we can't catch sharks. We can't catch great whites. We can't kill them. No problem. I have zero issue with that.
Yep.
On that same note, it goes into the other thought of, okay, you can't kill them. They take 35 years before they can have one kid, which is ridiculous. It's like, that's a slow growth. But yes, there's more of them now. That's great. They're thriving. They're growing. All these things are coming together. There's going to be more of them. That's just how it works. And that's okay.
And it just goes to show that, like, people that want to knock on Chip, you got to understand the reason he's allowed to do what he does. And it falls back to the reason why we're not. You can easily kill that animal
if
you don't do it right. And like you said, now it's not going to procreate, and they get one. They're not putting out a litter of pups. They get one. And if you kill that shark, now you've killed two, potentially.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to mess that up, that the backside of that is how much care and planning and attention is paid on Chip's part to be able to be sanctioned to do that.
Yeah. And it's not an easy thing. I mean, the Atlantic White Atlantic White Shark Conservancy. Yep, that's the words. All the things that they do for this, that is a huge thing to be able to do that. And, you know, and he does, and he takes it so serious, and it's great. He's very in tune with it, in tune with the sport, in tune with the people, understanding it. For lack of better terms, he gives a shit. And it was very fun to talk with him about that, but it was so cool to see the other pieces of all the things that he's built that will live on through him.
I'm on the edge of my seat to watch and listen to that. By the way, I can't wait for tomorrow.
It drops tonight at midnight. You know, whatever. All right, let's get you into the closing questions, man, and get you out of here. What advice would you give to a brand new angler?
Do your homework. Do enough homework to where you're able to switch it up if you need to. Know what you got to target. Know what you're trying to target. Target them the right way. Do your homework before you go to a new beach. You know, what do you got to bring? What should you be looking for? Is there structure? Are you going to be fishing near rocks? Are you going to be fishing on a flat beach like I am? These are all going to involve different tactics. And if you just go out there half cocked, you're not using the range properly. And then, you know, go to the tackle shop, ask the local guys, but ask the right way. Cause like I said, man, that's a good way to get bad info. If you just go in there hungry for information and you're not showing that you actually care, you know, bring your rod in, get it spooled up when you get there. You know, you might need a different line than you thought you did. Take it there, get it spooled up there. And while you're spending that $50 and you're not spending it at Dick's in Tennessee, you're spending it at Bubba's Cabin on Hilton Head. You can talk to the guy spooling your rod and have that conversation because you got him captive for 15 minutes. You know what I mean? That's another mind-numbing activity. I loved talking to people while I'm spooling their rod. I'll tell them everything.
With that one, because you just bring up another great point, why is going on a charter when you're traveling so much more advantageous than bringing that rod from Tennessee and Indiana?
Oh, because we take the guesswork out of it. I mean, if you've got a week and you want to surf fish, come see me your second day and listen and apply it. And now you can fish the rest of the day. And you didn't spend all that time scratching your head with the WTFs and the wanting to kick a buppy. Like, you've done the homework that you needed to do.
See, it makes it so much easier.
It's like it's just getting a tutor. If you're bad at math, get a tutor. You got a test coming up, get a tutor.
Yep.
You got a fishing trip coming up, get a guide.
And by
they've already done the homework for you. They got the cliff notes.
And the amount of money you're going to spend coming into a town, I mean, you're going to buy a whole new set of gear and you're coming in cold.
Yeah.
Why? I can give a guide that exact money and have a better day.
Yeah. I mean, if you know, you're going to go spend the $100 and get like a Walmart combo that's pre-strung with mono when I've got a several $200 combos that we're just going to go out and sling it. Let's go. Now, you know, that money you would have spent on gear has been spent on knowledge. It's really an investment if you look at it that way. You're investing in your knowledge to be better at your outing.
Better ROI, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, all right, last question. We'll get you out of here. What's next for you?
What's next for me is I'm going to try to get back on my social media game. More content, more videos. This past year, I slacked off. I picked up a new big boy job, and that took a lot of my focus. Now I've found my groove there, and I feel like I can fit some more of that extracurricular stuff in there and responsibly. And that's my plan. Yeah, hopefully you guys are going to see a lot more of my chubby Irish self.
Love it, man. Well, dude, seriously, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been it's been a great one, Buck. It really has. I've enjoyed it.
I've had a pleasure, Brian, man. This has been great.
Well, one day I'll get up to South Carolina. We'll go fish.
Oh, Dev, we got to get you up here, man.
It's on the list. So that whole big boy job and real adult stuff, it just gets in the way of all the really fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brian. Have a good one, man.
See ya. All right, everybody. I hope you had a great time. I absolutely did, as you can see. I mean, I'm all smiles. You know, I'm enjoying it. It was good jokes and good talk all the way through. Again, all the stuff for Buck's page for Salty Leprechaun will be back on findingdemosurfishing.com. It'll also be on the Transistor FM page where this podcast is launched from. All that information will be hyperlinked. You can click on that, get yourself set up for success when you're going to head out to Hilton Head, South Carolina, to do some fun fishing. You've been listening to Finding Demo Surf Fishing. Thanks for always being here. Thanks for being the awesome people you are. I appreciate you. I'll see you next time. I'm out of here.